Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Juries and Sentencing Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 14, 2013, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Alain v. United States. The question here is whether the Supreme Court's 2002 decision in Harris v. United States, that the Constitution does not require a jury to determine the facts used to increase a mandatory minimum sentence, should be overruled. To discuss the case, we have Ryan Scott, who is an associate professor at Indiana University Malwer School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Scott.
Hi there. This is an overview of Alain versus United States, a case pending before the Supreme Court that could dramatically change the role of the jury in cases involving a mandatory minimum sentence. In a series of cases, beginning with Apprendi versus New Jersey in 2000, the Supreme Court revolutionized sentencing procedure in the United States by holding that the Sixth Amendment guarantee of a right to trial by jury means that any fact other than a prior conviction that increases the maximum penalty to which a defendant is exposed must be found by a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. It can't be found by a judge at sentencing. And that holding wreaked havoc on many sentencing systems, most famously resulting in the federal sentencing guidelines being declared unconstitutional and rendered advisory back in 2005. But for the court, for more than a decade, has drawn a distinction between facts that increase the maximum penalty that is authorized at sentencing and facts that increase the minimum penalty. And this case, Alain, involves a minimum. So Mr. Alain was charged with robbery, and under a federal statute, anyone who uses or carries a firearm during a crime of violence is subject to a mandatory minimum 5-year consecutive sentence of imprisonment. And in addition, if the offender brandished the firearm during the crime of violence, the minimum sentence increases to 7 years. In Mr. Alain's case, the jury found him guilty of robbery and also found beyond a reasonable doubt that he carried a firearm during the offense. But it did not find that he brandished the firearm. It was the judge at sentencing who imposed the 7-year consecutive sentence because the judge found, by a preponderance of the evidence, that he'd also brandished the firearm. That result does not implicate the rule of Apprendi. It only raised the sentencing floor and not the sentencing ceiling, if you will. But Mr. Alain has challenged this federal statute, saying that the Sixth Amendment should apply equally to minimums and maximums. And this question is an important one because many federal and state criminal laws impose mandatory minimum sentences that are activated by particular facts. So drug quantities or possessing or brandishing a firearm, financial losses above a certain amount. Lots of states and Congress have chosen to impose mandatory minimum sentences that depend on the presence of certain facts. This is actually the third time the Supreme Court has considered this exact question. Does the jury have to find facts that increase the minimum imposed at sentence? First, in Pennsylvania versus McMillan in 1986, the court held that there is no requirement that a jury consider those kinds of facts. It's perfectly permissible for a judge to make those determinations at sentencing. Then in 2002, after the Apprendi decision, in a case called Harris versus United States, the Supreme Court reaffirmed McMillan and explicitly turned down a request to overrule its earlier decision in McMillan. Again, drew this distinction between sentencing factors that increase the maximum and minimum. As a result, an important factor in this decision, the Alain case, is stare decisis, the idea that precedent ought to be respected and prior decisions shouldn't be overturned. In fact, this case involves what some scholars have described as super precedent. This is a decision, McMillan, that was not only decided, but has been reconsidered and reaffirmed. So some people have argued there's a special value that should be placed on these kinds of decisions that not only once, but twice have been confirmed by the court. So the heart of the disagreement in this case centers on whether there is a principled reason as a matter of history or logic to draw a constitutional distinction between facts that raise the ceiling and facts that raise the floor. On one hand, the consequences are just as serious for the offender. Whether the maximum is increased or the minimum is increased, the offender still faces increased prison time or more serious penalty of some sort based on the presence of that fact. So that it's of no consequence to the defendant whether the fact goes to the maximum or the minimum. And as a matter of history, it's tough to sort out a clear distinction in founding era practice because minimum sentences of this kind were fairly rare, and there's at best a mixed bag of historical evidence as to whether the Sixth Amendment would apply to these sorts of facts. On the other hand, the jury in a case where the minimum is being increased but the sentence imposed is still beneath the maximum, the jury has technically authorized that kind of sentence, or the defendant has, by pleading guilty, exposed himself to that kind of sentence. So this isn't an action by the judge that is inconsistent with the jury's finding. It's merely one that imposes a particular sentence within that limit. And that's the argument that the government focused on in its presentation at oral argument just last week. The government said there is no constitutional right to judicial lenience under the Sixth Amendment, a clever way of reminding the court that this is really a discussion about the Sixth Amendment's right to a jury trial. Predicting the outcome in a case like this is tricky because the court's sentencing cases, beginning with Apprendi, have involved an unusual coalition of justices. They don't break down neatly on liberal versus conservative lines. And in the Harris decision, it was a close one with an unusual breakdown of justices. So in this case, there are a few justices we can be fairly confident will vote to reaffirm Harris and fine for the government, say there was no violation of the Sixth Amendment here. Those justices are Justice Kennedy, who wrote the opinion for the plurality in Harris, has already confirmed McMillan once, and Justice Scalia, who joined that opinion. We can also be reasonably confident that Justice Alito will support that result. He has consistently been skeptical of the Apprendi line of cases and has voted for the government's position in a long line of them. Based on the oral argument, I would also put Chief Justice Roberts in this camp. It sure sounded like he was skeptical of the arguments that Mr. Allain's counsel was making. That could be an important victory for the government because Chief Justice Roberts has supported some extensions of Apprendi in the last decade, but he sure seemed skeptical if the oral argument gives us much to go on. On the other hand, there are a few justices we can be confident will overrule Harris. Justice Thomas and Justice Ginsburg both voted in Harris in dissent to overrule that decision. And in addition, Justice Breyer, who was the swing vote in the Harris decision a decade ago, has signaled an oral argument, not just in this case, but in previous cases, that he no longer is skeptical of the Apprendi rule and is therefore prepared to overrule Harris and bring into line minimums and maximums. He never saw a persuasive distinction between those two, but it was only his doubts about whether there's any fact-finding role for the jury at sentencing that led him to conclude that there was no constitutional violation in the Harris decision. So the key votes here will be the newest members of the court, Justices Kagan and Sotomayor, and both of them questioned both sides at oral argument in a serious way, making it difficult to predict which direction they'll go. Both of them grilled Mr. Allain's counsel about stare decisis, asking questions like, is the rule of Harris really so impractical and unworkable? Haven't Congress and state legislators been relying on McMillan and Harris for over 25 years? On the other hand, they also challenged counsel for the government, doubting that there's any meaningful distinction between facts that raise minimums and facts that raise the maximum. So this is going to be a close one, which is par for the course in this line of sentencing cases, but it could be quite significant given the number of state and federal statutes that impose mandatory minimum sentences based on fact-finding. That could mean that Congress and states have to go back to the drawing board to try to reconfigure those statutes in a way that conforms with the Sixth Amendment right.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.